A very good morning, brothers and sisters of Pan Thai Baptist Church. Good morning. Are you having a great time? Yes, I had a great time, good fellowship and fun. And really, I want to thank PBC, the organizing committee, for making me part of this big family of Christ. Yesterday, I spoke about who is the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. And then I also spoke about why must we be Spirit-filled? What is the purpose of the Holy Spirit? And this morning, I'm going to end about the Spirit-filled life by sharing about how all of us can be Spirit-filled. And that is the process of being Spirit-filled. Next. This morning, I'm going to do an exposition of Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 to 20. Three verses. When Paul wrote the epistles to the Ephesian Christian, he was in prison in Rome, and he knew that very soon he will be beheaded by Emperor Nero. And the Christians in Ephesus was those people whom he loved, and he stayed for many years. And so when he wrote to them in verse chapter 5, verse 15, he says that, Ephesian Christians, be very careful how you live your life, not as someone that is unwise, but be wise to live your life on this earth since the day you became a Christian. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is for you. And what is that God's will is found in verses 18 to 20. God's will for all His children is that we must live a Spirit-filled life on this earth before we enjoy the eternal life in heaven. And this is the word of God taken from Ephesians chapter 5 verses 18 to 20. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are 3 points I want to share about the Spirit-filled life, how we can have, each and every one of us, the Spirit-filled life. Number one, it requires that you need to give up self-control of your life. Number two, you need to give in to the Spirit control in your life. And finally, you need to remain in Christ always. The first point, how to be Spirit-filled. Paul says, do not be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. And Paul is giving an analogy. One is a negative analogy, the other is a positive. The negative analogy is that you should not be filled with alcoholic spirit. Do not be drunk with wine. That means, don't be filled with alcoholic spirit. Because if you are filled with alcoholic spirit, the alcoholic spirit will control your life. Your mind, your feelings, your will, and your behavior will be transformed by the alcoholic spirit. You'll be, you know, carefree, you'll be drowsy, incoherent, maybe you feel happy, and you are more permissive, you are uninhibited, and your behavior is more careless and reckless. To be filled with alcoholic spirit, to be controlled by alcoholic spirit, will bring ruin, because you may end up with a car accident, you may fall into the drain, break your head, and you commit all kinds of sinful acts. So that is the first analogy that is negative. Now Paul contrasts with the second analogy. And that is, instead of being filled with alcoholic spirit, Paul says that you must be filled with the Holy Spirit. One is a bad spirit, the other one is a good spirit. The good spirit is be filled with the Holy Spirit because you will be controlled by the Holy Spirit when you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit, because you are filled with the Holy Spirit, your mind, your feelings, your will, and your behavior will be transformed. Your behavior will reveal the behavior of Jesus Christ, His teachings in the Bible. And because your behavior and your life is controlled by the Holy Spirit, instead of bringing ruin, you will bear much fruit. The fruit of the Holy Spirit, like love, joy, peace, patience, faithfulness, goodness, gentleness, kindness, and self-control. So brothers and sisters, it's quite clear when Paul says in the first verse, do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. The issue here is control. The issue here is control, that in your life, either you are controlled by the alcoholic spirit will produce ruin, or your life can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, which will produce fruit. Many people confuse that be filled with the Holy Spirit is not the issue of control, but the issue of content. That to be filled with the Holy Spirit means you must feel more and more content of the Holy Spirit. And that is wrong. That is misunderstood. Be filled with the Holy Spirit is not talking about the content that you want to be filled more. The day when you are converted and became a Christian, the Holy Spirit fills you and fills you to the full. The Holy Spirit, as we know, is a person. When the Holy Spirit fills you, the whole person of the Holy Spirit fills you. You cannot have half the Holy Spirit fills you. You cannot have half quarter of the Holy Spirit fill you. If you have this idea, then you go to Pastor Mark and Pastor Wallace. Pastor Mark, can you please pray and fill me with more of the Holy Spirit? Some people say, I want more of the Holy Spirit. And I want to have baptism of the Holy Spirit. And then next month they say, Mark, Pastor Mark, I think I don't have enough of the Holy Spirit. Can you pray for me to be baptized with the Holy Spirit the second time? And then next month you say, not enough. You keep on asking. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us clearly it's not the content of the Holy Spirit that you are lacking, because when you are converted, the Holy Spirit fills completely your spirit. The content is already filled. The problem is not the content, but the control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not the content that is not enough, but the control that you give to the Holy Spirit that is not enough. So to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you must give more and more control to the Holy Spirit in your life. Just like Mary of Bethany. Mary of Bethany in John chapter 12 verse 3. When Mary anointed Jesus Christ's feet with the perfume, the perfume filled the whole house. And this word is the same word as filled with the Holy Spirit. And we know that when the perfume filled the house, the perfume did not fill half the house. When the Holy Spirit fills us, it's not half the Holy Spirit. Just like here, the filling of the perfume is the whole house was filled with the perfume. In the same way, the Holy Spirit fills our whole body, our spirit dimension. So at conversion, the whole Holy Spirit, the whole person has already filled us completely. You cannot ask for more baptism of the Holy Spirit. Some people believe you have second baptism, third baptism. No, you already have full. What you need is not the content. What you need is the control. Be filled with the Holy Spirit means that you need to surrender control of your life to the Holy Spirit that is filling you to the full. In other words, brothers and sisters, God already has done His work. Now you need to do the work. And your work is to surrender control of your life to the Holy Spirit. So brothers and sisters, the first point, if you want to be a spirit-filled person and have a spirit-filled life, the first thing you need to do, the first step is you need to give up self-control. Because the day when you become a Christian, you have two nature, because you have the indwelling Holy Spirit in you. Now you have the second nature, which is a spiritual nature. Before you became a Christian, you only had one nature. And one nature is very senang, very easy. You only have the sinful nature. Every day you wake up, you just follow your sinful nature, your flesh, follow yourself. What you want to do, you just do. There's no problem, there's no conflict, there's no battle. There's only one nature. But brothers and sisters, Paul says when you become a Christian, you will now have another nature, the second nature, which is the spiritual nature, the new nature. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. The spiritual nature has come. That is why Paul says in Romans 7:15, I do not understand now that I become a Christian. I do not understand because what I want to do, I do not do. What I don't want to do, I do. Because now that I'm a Christian, I have the spiritual nature. The spiritual nature said, follow God. But because I'm used to following my sinful nature, I keep on following my sinful nature. There is this conflict that is raging in each of us. They want my picture, but you also can put your picture. So there is a conflict in our life because of the two nature, the fleshy nature of self and the spiritual nature, the Holy Spirit. And because we are used to the fleshy nature, before we become a Christian, we are so used to living a fleshy life. The flesh always wins. And if the flesh always wins, we allow the flesh to win, then Paul says that we become a carnal Christian. So brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, there are actually two types of Christian. Those Christians have become a Christian. They continue to live the life of the fleshy nature. They are not transformed. They do not follow the new nature, the spiritual nature. The old, if you keep on following the old sinful nature, you call a carnal Christian. And that's what Paul says, that, but I, brother, could not address you as spiritual people. I cannot say that you're a spiritual Christian, but you are the people of the flesh. You are carnal Christian. You are infants, you know. After you become Christian, your life never changed. Now you have the spiritual nature. You never give in to the spiritual nature. You keep on behaving as if you are non-Christian. Are you saved? Yes, you are saved because you believe in Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is in you. But you ignore the Holy Spirit. You push the Holy Spirit one side. You trample the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is gentle and humble. You don't care. And you live your life as if you are non-Christian. You are saved, but you don't have a spirit-filled life. And you don't bear any spiritual fruit. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 9 says that no one, understand this, no one who is born of God will continue to sin. When you receive the Holy Spirit, yesterday we remember that we become adopted through the Holy Spirit to become children of God, and we call our Father in heaven, Abba Father. And if we are children of God, we cannot continue to sin as if we are children of Satan. And that is why we need to be spirit-filled. And the first step to be spirit-filled is you need to give up. Give up self-control like a soldier, you know. In a war, when you are losing, you take up the white flag and you say, I surrender. I'm defeated. I'm a defeated Christian. Every day I look at my life, I'm not happy. I'm in conflict. And the flesh always wins. And I call myself a Christian. But actually, I'm the biggest hypocrite in the world because I still live as if I'm a non-Christian. There's no spiritual life in me. When my fellow workers, my wife, my husband look at me, he said, you call yourself Christian, you are just like a non-Christian. No difference, if you're like that, I also don't want to become Christian. And that is why, brothers and sisters, it's so important to be a good witness that we must live a spirit-filled life. And the first step, we must give up self-control. We must wave the white flag and tell God, I am defeated. I can't do it alone. So our part is to give up and to give in to the spirit control. You know, I've been Christian from not 1989, but 1989. I made a mistake yesterday. Otherwise, I wouldn't be alive. You know, after many years becoming a Christian, one day I was reading the Bible, and I come across this verse I never forget, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 to 20. I read it many times. But that day, in 2011, that verse jumped out from the Bible and landed deep inside my spirit, you know. And I was convicted because the Holy Spirit illumined the Word of God and I realized that this word has a personal significance for me. It was a deep personal conviction that you are not your own. It hit me, you know, that you are not your own. If I'm not my own, if I don't own my life, who owns my life? It goes on to say, you were bought at a price. Somebody paid a price. Somebody died on the cross in your place. You were supposed to die the eternal death. But Jesus Christ died on the cross, the eternal death for you. And because Jesus has paid that price, his life, your life now no longer belongs to you. Jesus Christ owned your life. the ownership of my life has been transferred from self to Christ. And it hits me. And the next verse says that, honor God with your bodies. And this is my own interpretation, not for you, but this is a personal conviction that God say you give up self-control of your life. The word of God say honor God with your body. Give up your medical work. Give up all your self-control. Give up all the worldly things. Come and serve me. And so I decided, I told my wife that I'm convicted by the word of God. The Holy Spirit spoke to me very clearly that my life ownership is now with God. I don't own my life. And God said, you give up all what you're doing and serve him. So my wife totally agreed because the Holy Spirit convicted her as well. And then I decided that I will slowly cut down my work and I need to go to Seremban and do some theological study. And that's what I did for the next few years. And it reminded me about giving self-control in the words, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. The word is with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. I was leaning on my own understanding. I was living my own life, my own way. And God was blessing me. I have a good practice, good family, good health. Everything was good and doing well. I have control of my life, but I decided that no, my life now is not my own. I belong to Christ. I need to honor Christ. And therefore, I need to give up self-control. And that means serving God for me. But when you give up your life, your self-control, it doesn't mean you must go full-time. You know, where you are, where you're working, your station of life, you can give up your life. You don't have to go to full-time ministry. It only meant for me. You know, it reminded me about my patient. Many times I see these hundreds of these patients. They come to see me, you know, with a diabetic foot. Doctor, my foot, infected, gangrene. 2 weeks having high fever. My diabetic is not well controlled. I come to see you. But I read that doctor, my friend doctor, you know, I read on the internet that my food is bad, but you just give me antibiotics, rehydrate me and do some cut here, wash and there, and that's it. In my mind, this patient did not give up his self-control. He did not depend on me fully. And it is very difficult to treat such patient because she wants to control. He don't want to give me the full control. And so I said, I can't. I give you antibiotic. I give you the drip. I rehydrate you. I give you antibiotic. If I make a few cuts in here, your leg will get worse. Your diabetes also will not be well controlled. And so after a few days, after 1 or 2 weeks, I said, look, the gangrene is descending. The toxin is going to your body. You're getting more sick, more high fever. You have to decide. You have to become like the most patient B. Most patients, when they come, doctor, I give up. My leg is smelly, I'm having fever, I feel like dying, my kidney is packing up. I give up, I don't want to control anymore. Doctor, I depend on you. You will do it. I say, yes, your foot is dead, your foot is black, there's infection, it's going up. Soon you'll lose your leg, and if you don't do anything, you'll lose your life. You want your limb, you'll lose your life. So I will have to cut half your foot away. I have to drain all the pus. And just after that, without all the pus, without all the toxin, without all the dead tissue, you'll be better. So brothers and sisters, to have the spirit-filled life, we need to first give up self-control. If you don't give up self-control, it's difficult for you to give in to the spirit control. There's no such thing as not giving up self-control, giving it into the spirit control. You need to give up first. Then only you can give in to the spirit control. And that is why Paul in Romans 8:9 says that you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the spirit if you have the spirit of God living in you. So if you want to have a spirit-filled life, you must be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Not having more of the Holy Spirit, that is wrong. You already have enough of the Holy Spirit. Now what you need is to give up control of your life. Give in to the Holy Spirit to control. Don't forever become a carnal Christian. The day you become a Christian is the day that you must be transformed. Give up your self-control. Give in to the spirit control and be transformed so that you become a work in progress and be sanctified and purified, that you become a spirit-filled Christian. The difference between a carnal Christian and a spirit-filled Christian is that a carnal Christian possesses the Holy Spirit. But a spirit-filled Christian not only possess the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit possess the person. You must be possessed by the Holy Spirit. It's no point just possessing the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must possess you, take control of your life. And it's just like a house, you know? Your life is like a house. The Holy Spirit must not only be the resident of your house, He must be the president of the house. You need to give Him the title and the key to the Holy Spirit to take complete control. Complete control. You don't give Him only the storeroom. Okay, Holy Spirit, take care of the storeroom. The rest of the house, don't take care, no. You know, my finances, Holy Spirit, hey, don't touch that one. That one sacred, don't touch. Hey, my family life, don't touch. I go to church, my church life, okay, I surrender to you. There's no such thing. Control is 100% or zero. And that is why some say that you must give an undivided heart to the Lord. And giving your life to the Spirit control is like walking. The Bible gives the metaphor, the example of walking. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. So there's this idea that when you live a spirit-filled life, you're actually walking by the Spirit. That means the Holy Spirit is in front, not you in front and the Holy Spirit behind. When you walk with the Holy Spirit, there are two persons there, you and the Holy Spirit that's in you. Two persons walking one direction, there's only one decision. Only one person can lead, it's not you. It is the Holy Spirit that must lead. And that is why Galatians 5:25 says that since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. That means when you walk with the Holy Spirit, it is step by step. It's not by leaps and bounds, you know. It's a process over many months, over many years, your whole lifetime. The process of transformation that we become a Spirit-filled Christian as we give more and more control to the Holy Spirit leading. And Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says that do two walk together unless they have agreed to do so. So the first thing to have a spirit-filled life, you must agree. There is a one person, the Holy Spirit, there's you, the person. You must agree. You need to make a personal decision that you are giving up self-control because it's a defeated carnal Christian life and you do to give in into the Spirit control every day, every minute, every hour of your life. And when you walk with the Holy Spirit in a lifelong journey, you must be conscious and you must obey every day. You make a once-off decision, but it is a lifetime of walking, a journey of walking in obedience. And every day when you walk, you actually walk by the Spirit or walk by the flesh. It is not a joint venture. Nowadays, we like to do joint venture, JV. But this giving up to the Holy Spirit is not a JV. It's not 50-50. Hey, Holy Spirit, 50% you take control, 50% I take control. Never mind, you take 75. Never mind, you take 90, I take 10. Today, you control, tomorrow I control. This hour I control, next hour you control. It's not a JV. Christ is either Lord of all or Christ is not at all. Walking with the Holy Spirit is a decision that is fully committed. It's 100%. If you commit 90%, you are not committed. If you commit 99%, you are not committed. You must be 100%. Either the Holy Spirit leads or you lead and it's not a JV. It's like getting married, you know. You know when you get married to your husband or you're married to your wife, you know, you tell your wife, I'm getting married, but you know, it's a JV, you know, JV. That means 90-10, 90 I committed, 10 I have girlfriend outside. You think it's possible? Two person getting together, husband and wife, we sign a prenuptial agreement. Prenuptial means that you're doomed to divorce, you know. There's no such thing. It is 100% commitment or not 99%. In the same way, two person, you and the Holy Spirit inside you, two person, you have to give 100% commitment. You have to make the decision, yes or no. And then as you make the decision, yes, you want to have a spirit-filled life, it's a lifelong journey, building a relationship, a process, and then you will bear the fruit. And I want to give an illustration of my life about giving full control to the Holy Spirit. You know, I joined OMF in February 2015. I went to Singapore for 1 month for orientation, and then I became a member. I started to serve, and I was thinking that serving God, I tell you, is wonderful. I thought, but actually, serving is not easy. Serving is very difficult. And there were a lot of challenges, especially when I came at the time, because I was made for a time like this, you know, Esther 4:14. Esther 4:14 says that, Esther said, I was made for a time like this. And because there was a lot of challenges in OMF, and God had to call me from Ipoh to come to KL. You know, when they first, this pastor, he stayed in my house, you know, and I was finishing my theology, he said that, Dr. Tan, I think God is calling you to OMF. I said, really? Yeah? So go for interview. So from Ipoh, I come to KL, I went for interview with all the council, and then they asked me many questions. After that, they said, you are the one. Then I wrote back, you know, I went back to Ipoh, I wrote back. I said, look, brother, come on. KL got so many good Christians. KL, I know there are a lot of intelligent and good people, you know, good Christians. You don't have to go to Ipoh to look for me, come on. Go and get somebody from KL. I'm not the right one. Don't come and choose me. I declined. So I declined. And then after a few months, they say that you declined, never mind. I'm sending the big boss from Singapore to stay in your house 4 days. I said, 4 days? I'm used to it. I said, 4 days, I'm used to it. I have a lot of people who stay in my house. So he came from Singapore, he stayed in my house. And then after 4 days, before I sent him to the airport, he said, brother, 4 days I stayed with you. I look at your family, look at your wife, look at everything. There's no red flag. And we are standing on holy ground. And that was the calling of Moses, you know. And so there I was convicted by the Holy Spirit that, you know, I was called to serve. And I have to come to KL. And KL is a concrete jungle, you all know. Ipoh is such a beautiful place. If you don't know, please go to Ipoh. Yeah, the food is good. Everything is good. There's no traffic jam, no flyover, no toll. No toll. But there was so much challenges. The first day I found there was a lot of challenges. A lot of things were not right. And actually, God has called me at the right time and knew I was convicted. And I told all the people around me, this is God's calling. Don't play. This is God's calling. I gave up my work, good work. I came. I don't take salary. I travel all over the place. I go Japan, Korea, China, everywhere. I pay my own pocket. I don't fear any of you. I only fear God. And that's why I come. So I thought I will make a lot of changes. And I told my staff, you know, Hassan Taylor saying God's work done in God's way. Don't think doing God's work is great. Anybody can do God's work, you know. It's nothing great about doing God's work, doing ministry. But what is great is doing God's work in God's way. Because Jesus said, I'm the way. So we need to do God's work in God's way. And I told myself, I get up myself because things were not right. I told my staff, my colleague, look, there are four things that I want to do. First, God's way means you must honor God. Everything that you do in this office and whatever you do, you must honor God. If you don't honor God, go back to your secular work. It's better you are there. Nobody knows you are Christian. You do what you like. Number two is you must be honest. Absolutely honest and have integrity. You want to cheat money, don't do God's work. You bring shame, you know. You either shame Christ or you shine for Christ. And if you do God's work, you must shine for Christ. You cannot shame Christ, if you don't have honesty. And I say, I want to account every bit of money. Wow, this is serious now, man. Now I'm thinking back, I think I shouldn't be so hard. And then I told myself, I expect hard work, okay? We are doing God's way in God's way. Hard work. You know, I'm a medical doctor. I told them, you know, I'm a medical doctor. I go to hospital every day and people die. People never die of hard work, you know. People never die of hard work. I tell you, in the hospital, people die of sickness only, you know. So you jolly well work hard, I say. If you don't work hard, you don't work for God. That is God's way. We must work hard and shine for Christ and not shame for Christ, I say. And then you must be humble. We are God's servant. You think who you are? You are nobody. You are not entitled to anything. You have no rights, I say. You are God's servant and God's servant have no right. Don't want to be served by people. You must serve people. You must be humble. Wow. I think, looking back, too much for people. I'm used to this kind of life and I think people should have this kind of life, but I was absolutely wrong. You know, after 3 years, people around me, above me, below me, by the side, behind especially, they stabbed me, you know. Really, they stabbed me. And it was challenging, you know. I thought, I can stand it. You know, I'm very strong. Like, you look at me, I'm very strong. You don't believe it. I thought I was very strong, but actually I'm very weak. After 3 years, I remember 2018, you know, because of all these attacks, I said, God, my position is untenable, I'm giving up. And that morning, I was reading Genesis 22, and I told God, I'm giving up. And the Spirit, the Holy Spirit told me, you're giving up? Yes, I give up, I can't take it. I'm going to have a mental breakdown. Somehow or other, I don't know why, I thought my brain is very strong, but my brain is very weak. I cannot take it, I'm going to give up. I'm going to give up OMF. And God, you know, when I come from Ipoh to KL to serve you, wholeheartedly, undivided heart, I gave up everything, my practice, my house, my everything. I have nothing in Ipoh. And I told you, I burned my bridges. I use the word, I told God, I burned my bridges. You know why, God? Because my heart is undivided. It's only you that I serve. And I'm not coming back to Ipoh. Actually, Ipoh is very nice. But I'm not coming back. The not nice place KL is for me. It's okay. And then I said, God, I'm giving up now. I cannot take it. You know already. I'm throwing the towel. I told God, I'm throwing the towel. And now you didn't open anything for me. I gave up all my cannot take it. You never opened ministry to me. Maybe part-time Baptist church asked me to become a pastor, not so bad also. No, only God. Prior only come and ask me also. So I said, God, this is bad. I know ministry. And now I cannot go back to work anymore. KL, how to start a medical practice. Everywhere you walk, there are doctors. So I said, I have nothing. That's what I told God. I have nothing now. God said, what? The Holy Spirit impressed on me. What? You have nothing? Yeah. I burned my bridges. I have nothing. The Holy Spirit asked me, this is the conversation I have, you know. You have nothing? Yeah, I have nothing. You don't believe me. You look behind me. Bridges also burned already. Then suddenly the Holy Spirit spoke to me, you know. You really have nothing? Wow, that time I repented my life, man. I really repented. I gave up self-control. I give to the Holy Spirit control. I said, God, I repent. I'm sorry. I committed this great sin. I have you. I have everything. I don't need OMF. I don't need ministry. I don't need to do anything. As long as I have you, I have everything. You know, Isaac, Abraham, God told Abraham, you go and sacrifice Isaac. Your whole life is about Isaac, Isaac, Isaac. But who gave you Isaac? God. And where is God? Nowhere. So God say, yeah, God is nowhere. Your first love is God. You have lost. Now your first love is Isaac. You kill your Isaac. So God told me, you kill your OMF. Kill your OMF. You don't need your OMF. What do you need? You need me. When you have God, you have everything. When you have ministry, you have nothing. So immediately I repented, and immediately I was set free. Now, not only I possess the Holy Spirit now totally possessed me. I was at the breaking point, and it was at the breaking point that I received the spiritual breakthrough in my life. And since then, I tell you, this is a true story. Since then, after that day, you know, I went to the meeting, I went for this meeting, went for that meeting, I went, met so many people, my bosses, my colleagues, even those behind me want to slap me. They say that, Dr. Tsai, you are different. I say, why different? Same person, but you are different. You have this spiritual breakthrough, you know. Now, everything is so relaxed, so peaceful, you don't want to control anymore. God's work, need God to work. God's work, no need man to work so hard. So I just give up my control of OMF, and the people above me say want to do this, do that. I think wow, not so good. Go after God is you are responsible to God. And my workers want to cheat here, cheat there. Hongantai lah, go. You do what you like, but you are responsible. I already told you, you have to be 100% integrity. Okay. But if you still persist to do this, I told you still want to do, go ahead and do. I shake my leg one day. So I have that spiritual breakthrough because I realized that when you have God, you have everything, you don't need ministry, you don't need to do anything. I just relax. And they say that, Dr. Tsai, now you have this peace, you have this security, you don't have to control hard work, not hard work. Even my son lazy, you are lazy, you are okay lah, lazy. Last time I said, when you get out of the room, you jolly well off the aircon, you know. Now you get out of the room, you don't off the aircon, I also won't tie lah. I told you, you must off the aircon. Because nobody inside the room, but you don't want to off, you are responsible. So brothers and sisters, you must give up self-control and give in to the spirit control. And it is 100%. And that is why we must live life from the center, divine center. Unhurried peace and power. It is simple, it is serene, it is amazing. And my life now is an amazing life. No need to have ministry one. Just shake leg only. It takes no time, but it occupies all my time. All my time is about God, not about ministry. So that is the spirit-filled life. And often the Holy Spirit works through our mind. Because this morning passage talks about when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you must speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs. Not only you must speak to one another, you must also sing and make music from your heart. So brothers and sisters, to have a spirit-filled life means you must speak from the Spirit. So afterwards, outside, don't speak so loud, speak from the Spirit. And then also you will sing. When you sing from the Spirit, you know when we have this worship, I always tell God, because you must worship God in spirit and in truth, ask the Holy Spirit to sing the song. This is a practice where you ask the Spirit that is inside you to sing the song, singing from the Spirit. And all this is the output from a Spirit-filled mind. So your mind needs to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with things that are noble, that are pure, that are good. So our mind is the battlefield of the Spirit-filled mind. The Holy Spirit uses our mind. So every day, the Bible tells us that we must set our mind. Our mind, now there's a switch. Your mind got switched or not? After today, remember, your mind, there's a switch. Those who live according to the flesh have their mind set. They switch their mindset on what the flesh desires. But we who are filled with the Holy Spirit must set our mind. So every morning wake up, set our mind to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit uses our mind. And so that is why 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5 says that we must take captive of every thought. We must take captive of our mind and make it obedient to Christ. So every morning when I wake up, I read the Bible, I pray, I sing, and I want my brain, my mind to be filled with spiritual things. If you fill your mind with non-spiritual things, no, with your investment, with your hobby, day and night, your mind filled with all these things, your mind is emptied of the Holy Spirit. So you need to fill your mind. And as you feed your mind and fill your mind with spiritual things, your mind becomes stronger in the spirit. And then you need to starve your flesh. You starve your flesh, you don't feed your flesh, don't fill your mind with anything that is fleshy. You know, sometimes I think, wow, that church member very bad. I hope he go out afterwards, he get a car accident and die. Don't have this thought. Because these are ungodly things, unspiritual things. Okay? So you must fill your mind with spiritual things, singing and speaking. You know, it's just like you're having two dogs, you know? If you have two dogs, one black dog, one white dog, the black dog, very aggressive. You know, you bite the dog. The black dog is very aggressive, like to bark, like to shout, like to bite the white dog. The white dog is very obedient, very quiet, very nice, and you love the white dog. So what you need to do is, every day, you feed the white dog. Feed a lot of food, feed the vitamins, groom the white dog, siam the white dog. Then the black dog, you starve the blood. Don't give the blood food. Don't give the blood water. Starve the blood. Don't care about the blood. After months, after years, the black dog, the aggressive one, the bad one, becomes so gross. The blood cannot bark. The blood is not aggressive. And that is what it is. Set our mind on the spiritual thing, feed on the spiritual thing, starve the flesh, don't feed the flesh. So brothers and sisters, to have the spirit-filled life, you must give up self-control. The flesh must not control, the spirit must control, and finally, you must remain in Jesus Christ always. Because the last verse says that, always give thanks, always, not sometimes, always give thanks to God the Father for everything. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We must be grateful to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ is the source of our life. No Jesus Christ, no psychic thing. That is why I must be grateful. Every day I wake up, hope I'm still alive. Thank you, Jesus Christ. My life comes from you. Not only Jesus is the source of our life, He's also the source of our salvation. He died on the cross for us. And thirdly, Jesus Christ and the Father sent the Holy Spirit. And that is why we have the Holy Spirit, the person in us. So we must remain in Christ always. The Spirit-filled life or the Spirit-controlled life requires remaining and connected to Christ always. Don't connect to your computer every day, no. Connect to Jesus Christ every day because Jesus said, I'm the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And the next verse says, apart from me, you can do nothing. And it's very true. Apart from Christ, you can do nothing. It's only when you remain in Christ, abide in Christ, connected to Christ every day, that you can bear much fruit. And you only bear the fruit. No, you don't produce the fruit. The word says that you bear. No. Bear means that you carry the fruit. No. The fruit of the Holy Spirit. But who manufactures the fruit? Who produces the fruit? It's the Holy Spirit. You cannot produce the fruit. You only bear the fruit because you are so Spirit-filled. The Spirit produces the fruit and you just carry it and bear it. And you carry it around and you see, oh, the fruit of spiritual fruit. The fruit of spiritual fruit. And what is that spiritual fruit? The spiritual fruit is, we know, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And the word here is F-R-U-I-T, singular fruit. Singular fruit means that you have either all, you have none. You cannot say, hey, Pastor, I only got the fruit of love. The rest I don't have. No, the word here is F-R-U-I-T, fruit. It's all in a package. And this package is the character of Christ. And this is Christ-likeness. The fruit is Christ-likeness. And this Christ-likeness, the fruit, authenticate that indeed you are Spirit-filled. How do you know what the Bible says? How do you know a tree is good or bad? By its fruit. So as we look at each other, we know whether you are Spirit-filled because you bear the fruit of the Spirit. And that is the goal of the Spirit-filled life, that when we have the Holy Spirit, it makes us more and more like Jesus Christ. As we are transformed and changed to be more and more Christ-like. So the Spirit-filled life produces fragrance of Christ wherever we are. 2 Corinthians 2:15 says that, for we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. I want you to do one thing now. Please take a deep breath. Turn to your right. Turn to your left. Can you feel the aroma of your Christ in your neighbor? No. Okay, take another deep breath. Can you feel the aroma of Christ from your neighbor? And that is what it is. All of us have a Spirit-filled life and we have the aroma of Christ that diffuses around us wherever we are. And people will notice. People will say that this person is different. He didn't say why is he different. But I know there's something different about this person. He has this fruit of the Holy Spirit. He has this Christ-likeness. And last year, I did a research on OMF in Malaysia. Over 30 years, OMF came in 1952. They were expelled by Mao Zedong in 1949. 3,000 missionaries were expelled by Mao Zedong. 1,000 belongs to OMF. 500 went home, 500 went to Singapore, waiting. Is it closed door already? OMF is CIM, no? China Inland Mission. Now we are expelled. So when they were in Singapore, God called them, 256 foreign missionaries come to Malaya. And at that time, 1948, there was emergency was declared from 48 to 1960. And 600 over 1,000 Chinese, mostly Chinese, squatters along the jungle fringes were relocated into concentration camp and they were called new villages. Some 300 people, some 3,000 people. And when I was young, I remember I was in this concentration camp, double barbed wire with sentry and with curfew and with rationing. And Sir Gerald Templer, the High Commissioner, who was fighting the communists at that time, he says that we need to win the hearts and minds of these new villagers. They're very angry, you know. You burn their house, you burn their crops, and then you relocate them to new villages. They are suffering, there are no facilities, and the general temple say that we want the missionaries from China, they are very fluent in Mandarin and all this, to come to the new villages, to win the hearts and minds of the new villages, so that the British government will win the war. And indeed they won. There were 256 OMM missionaries that came, and he did not stay in the town. Like in China, they stay in the town. They realized it was a mistake. They need to stay in the new villages, and they learned the dialect. They stayed in the new villages. They were under danger by the communists. They behaved like the new villagers, and it was very hot, it was steel roof, and they learned the dialect. Every day they talked to the new villagers. Many were doctors and nurses. They give free medical care. And why do they do it? Because the love of Christ compelled them. They really received the love of Christ. And now they want to demonstrate the love of Christ to these new villagers. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. And they stayed in 40 of the 500 new villages, some in Sungai Wei, Cha'a, many places. 40, they were resident, sometimes 2 years, sometimes 20 years. And because of that, they founded 20 churches. And I went around interviewing many of these new villagers who had contact with the missionaries. And one of them is this guy by the name of Tan Chun. He's 84 years old. He stayed in Triang, and you remember in the 60s, he came in contact with a few OMM missionaries, and he said that consistently these people say that the missionaries reflect the character of God of love. They love us sacrificially. They give us services, and it was free. Free medicine, free nutritional products for their babies, and they stayed with us, they suffered like us, they drink well water and all this. And one of them told me that when in the 70s, when one of the missionaries was going back to UK because their visa was not approved, he drove his motorbike. This lady, Betty Cox, she drove her motorbike to this Cha'a. This guy, Tan Chung, he was working in Cha'a, and then he gave the motorbike to Tan Chung. He said, he's now 84 years old. This missionary loved me so much. All the way from KL, ride motorbike, gave the motorbike to me at half price, and then took a bus back. So OMF, we have this motto that says that your life is the message of Christ. Your life, the fragrance of Christ, is the message of Christ. Sometimes you need to open your mouth. Many times you don't have to open your mouth because your life is the messenger of Christ. Brothers and sisters, in conclusion, Jesus has promised us that I came that they may have life and have an abundant life. And that abundant life is the eternal life in heaven and the Spirit-filled life on earth. And the Spirit-filled life is actually the Spirit-controlled life. The Spirit-controlled life that transforms all Christians, not only some Christians, all Christians to Christ-likeness through total self-surrender, complete Spirit control while remaining in Christ always. Let us pray. Father Lord, thank you for your word that penetrates deep into our heart. That you will call each and every one of us. That we must live the Spirit-filled life. The life that is controlled by your Holy Spirit as we give self-control. And that we will walk closely with you step by step. And that our life will be transformed to Christ-likeness. That we will shine for you. That all of us will have that aroma of Christ wherever we go, so that we will not shame you. Help us, God, for we are weak and you are strong. Help us through the Helper, the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. We will always remember that the Holy Spirit is a person and he wants us to surrender our lives to him. We pray, Lord, that each and every one of us, as we leave this camp, we will remember and our lives will never be the same again. And we thank you for this privilege as we gather as a family, that you will depart us and grant us journey mercy as we return home, and that you will bless us and bless our ministry and our family together in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you.